wolf on the hill is never as hungry as the wolf climbing the hill.
Lone wolf is a term commonly used by many people. It means that they used to belong to a group, but left, to become stronger. By thinking and acting alone, the lone wolf acquires superior cunning, agility, imagination and skills unknown to members of the pack. The lone wolf is independent of and distances itself from the petty bickerings, expectations, demands, mediocrities and unfulfilled dreams of other people, groups or organizations. The lone wolf is often branded as the rebel.
For it is the sovereign lone wolf who stands alone in all of his or her glory. You are listening to Lone Wolf Radio, presented and hosted by Tom Metzger. Tom is now broadcasting from a newly relocated and improved bunker in an undisclosed location with internet access across the globe. So sit back, relax, and enjoy another episode on Lone Wolf Radio.
George Lincoln Rockwell, you are head of the American Nazi Party?
Yes, sir.
How can you possibly justify leading an organization whose objectives are the liquidation of the Jews, the removal of the Negroes to Africa, and the turning of the United States into a fascist state?
Well, I don't know where you got those supposed objectives, but they're ridiculous. We have no such objectives. As you have said, we are not out to liquidate the Jews. We are out to liquidate communist traitors. Unfortunately, too many Jewish atheists, not religious Jews, but too many religious atheist Jews are mixed up in communism. That's our only concern with the Jews. And as for turning this into a fascist nation, that's untrue too. Fascism is essentially an economic doctrine that has to do with a corporate state. We don't believe in a corporate state. We believe in free enterprise. What we are is Nazis, which means basically that we are racists. We believe in preserving a white nation, a white Christian nation, for the white Christian people who build it.
Well, now let's deal with the Jews first and the Negroes second. Are you happy with that order?
Any way you want to deal with them.
How would you deal with them, Commander?
I think we'll deal with them simultaneously when we get our chance.
How do you mean?
Well, I think that the Negroes, who have done nothing wrong, in my opinion, except recently, But they did no wrong by coming here. We dragged them here, and I think we owe them something. I think we owe them a chance in their own nation in Africa.
And you do intend to deport the Negroes to Africa?
You keep saying these things, sir, not me. Not deport them. Those who wish to may remain here on reservations, like the Indians were. Those who will, of their own volition, accept our help, will be aided to go over to Africa and build their own nation, as our ancestors, and yours, I might say, came over here and did in America.
Now, the Jews, you say about 80% of them are communists and traitors.
You keep adding this stuff. I don't know whether it's 80%. I don't know what
percentage.
Commander,
what percentage would you estimate?
My estimate has been regularly about 80% based on the number of traitors who have been convicted in this country, and your country, and England, and other countries.
All right. What do you intend to do to those Jews who you believe are communists or traitors?
The Constitution provides that. The Constitution of the United States is written by the Founding Fathers, says death is the penalty for treason. I believe that. That's the only way to deal with a traitor. I think they should be placed before American juries in American courts of law, federal courts, and if they're convicted by law of treason, I think they should be executed.
What's your view on the way that Hitler dealt with the Jews of Germany?
I think Hitler dealt with the Jews of Germany the same way he dealt with all traitors, the same way we will. I think he has been lied about more than any human being in history except Jesus Christ.
Do you, in fact, accept what has been established by many
are you
reputable
piling out now? Tell me about the 6 million dead Jews.
That's just what I'm coming up to.
I'm
going to put
that.
Do you or do you not?
Well, let me tell you a little story.
Accept the view that 6 million Jews were exterminated by Hitler.
Of course not. I have incontrovertible documentary proof that that's not true. I don't know how many Jews there were in Germany. I think I heard there were 600,000. And if the percentage is anything like I think it's over here, I don't think they were exterminated, but I would imagine probably as many as 500,000 probably had to be dealt with as traitors, according to law, as there will be here.
Well, then, if 500,000 Jews or thereabouts, in your view, and this is about 1/12 of the estimate which is accepted by everybody else, if 500,000 were exterminated...
Did we exterminate the Rosenbergs, sir? Do you call that exterminating them?
Well, now, wait a minute, Commander. You know that it has been thoroughly established by all the courts which have looked into the question, by the governments of the United States, of Great Britain, of the Soviet Union, which have looked into the question.
And you believe
fact,
the Soviet Union, sir?
But in fact,
wait,
there were
the
extermination
you
camps.
The Soviet Union comes, let's stop now, right there. How about that Soviet Union? They sat on the International Court of Justice at Nuremberg. Do you believe in the Soviet justice?
Do you disbelieve in the evidence accumulated by your own government of the United States and by the government of Britain as well as the Soviet
Union? The FBI accumulated, sir, but the FBI has not accumulated that. The people that accumulated that so-called evidence were mostly Jewish army officers, who I believe were not working for the United States. They're working for Israel and Russia and the Soviets.
Do you model yourself on Hitler?
It's impossible. I look upon Hitler. If I were religious, I would say Hitler was the second coming of Christ. I think Hitler was a gift from Providence. I think he was so far above anything that I'll be able to accomplish that it's just almost sacrilegious for me to speak of myself in the same terms with Hitler.
But this is your objective, to model yourself as closely as possible.
Well, my objective is to carry out what Hitler started, not to model my own person on Hitler, because this is impossible.
Do you consider yourself the second Führer?
I don't even use the word Führer. I'm not a German. I'm an American, as you're a Canadian. I consider myself, in terms of Bolshevism, I would be the Lenin to Marx. And in terms of Christianity, I'm the St. Paul to Hitler's Christ. In other words, I am the spreader, the world spreader of a doctrine which Hitler originated, and it was crucified, dead and buried, and it is now rising.
Are you a Superman, Commander?
I'm not a Superman, no. There's probably people here could whip me. I think that all I am is the offspring of millions of years of evolution which has produced white Christian civilization. I am one example of it, not a Superman. But I think that compared to an Aborigine in Africa who eats his grandmother, and they're still eating people over there, I think I am, and so are you. We're all Supermen compared to those cruds.
Didn't Adolf Hitler believe in Superman?
He said the white race is a master race, and I think that's true.
I would like to turn you to the question of the American Negro.
Let's go. We've got a little more sympathy there. People don't know about the Jews, but they can sure see coons.
Just what, indeed, do you plan to do with the American Negro?
I think what should have been done, it's too late now. I used to black back the Muslims, because the Muslims cleaned their people up. They wanted a country of their own in Africa. This is what Elijah Muhammad said. I spoke before 9,000 black Muslims in Chicago, and I was cheered. And the reason for it was because we saw eye to eye on the business of giving the Negroes some justice in their own land, not here.
Commander, do you favor the use of violence in dealing with the Negroes?
If the Negroes show us any violence, I sure as hell do. But so long as they remain within the law, I believe it can be done voluntarily, not by violence. I believe the only way it could have been solved, I think it's too late now, but I think it could have been solved by appropriating some of the billions of dollars we give away to communist nations in foreign aid. If we had given that to our own Negroes, I believe we could have built them their own nation, and they would voluntarily have been eager to go there. Well, I think it's a list of most Americans, and I bet a lot of course, you people up in Canada, I don't think you have any coons running around up there, do you?
Well, Commander, I wouldn't like to go into a description of what you might describe as a coon, unless you'd like to.
Well, a Martin Luther coon is a good example, I would say. I will say this, if I had the funds to do it, and I could ship 5,000 Negroes, let us call them, up to your city tomorrow morning, you'd have a Negro problem. And it wouldn't be long before you'd be saying, well, now, what are we going to do about this thing?
You'd send them up in cattle cars or Greyhound buses, Commander.
Well, I think the Negroes would be more comfortable, most of them in a cattle car.
Yes, but I just wondered which way you'd rather see them go.
Well, I think the Negroes themselves would prefer to go the way they live. I think they'd like to get a couple of wine bottles and their heroin and their numbers game and everything, get in the cattle car where they all crawl all over each other.
Well, Commander, that's not a very good description of the Negroes we have in Canada.
Negroes simply are not fit to associate in modern urban civilization. They just can't make it. A few can. There are a few who are always mixed with white blood, by the way. But real black Negroes, you won't find very many of them who can make the grade in urban civilization.
Well, would you say then that there is no Negro who is really in the same league with Commander Ocular?
No, sir, I would not. There may be some Negroes who are superior to me. But I would say that the chances are 99 out of 100 that I've got a lot of white blood, like Malcolm X. And I would further say that the average Negro is far inferior to anybody in here. The average Negro, not the special Negro that you might trot out that's a PhD, but the average Negro. You go over here on 7th Avenue, and I'll show you thousands of them that are inferior swine.
Commander, your views on Negroes strike me as being viciously extreme.
They're
do you
extreme.
Disagree with that character?
No, sir. They're not vicious, but they're extreme.
Commander, how do you feel about the allegations that the American Nazi Party has strong homosexual tendencies?
I will say this. In my organization, I had men who were homosexuals. They were sucked into that filth, just like drunkards or dope fiends. And I have been able to rescue them. And I'm not a bit ashamed of that. I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with anyone on many days. The only thing I will not tolerate is a homosexual who is a homosexual.
This is one of your enemies?
That's one of the biggest enemies. I'd rather gas queers than anybody else.
Have you got operatives inside the government?
Yes, sir.
In Congress?
Yes.
In the government of Canada?
I don't know of any in the government of Canada.
Who else would you like to gas besides queers?
Well, I'd like to gas traitors, I've already told you. But
yes.
Queers, to me, queers are traitors to humanity as a whole.
I just wondered if it was a long list of people you'd like to gas.
You can put queers up at the top of the list for my money, and that includes a lot of Jews and liberals, I find, are also queers.
I think that the business of hating Negroes is insane. I think that the Negro people have been cruelly used. They've been exploited. We dragged them over here against their will. At the same time, I think that as a matter of practical experience, it's been proved that the majority of Negroes, the vast majority, simply can't fit in modern urban society. And therefore, I go along with Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Monroe, and even Abraham Lincoln, all of whom preached that the only solution is geographical separation. We should arrange to get them some area in Africa, build it up for them decently. You can't throw them over there in the jungle. Build it up decently and give them a country of their own, just like our pilgrims came here and made their own country when where they were not wanted. And the Jews are about 90% of the force behind the Negro-Black Revolution. Every time you find the lawyers and the people who are pushing the Negroes in where they're not wanted, you find it's Greenbergs and Moskowitz and like the two of the Jewish boys that were murdered down there in Mississippi. I just got back from Mississippi a couple of days ago, and it's just full of CAR and COFO workers who are Jewish from New York and from the big cities. So I feel if the Jews love them so much, why don't we give them to them?
At a debate with an individual described on Commander Rockwell's recording only as a beatnik, he added this.
We feel that the Negro people who are an immature race have been allowed to get into a position where they can't possibly manage themselves properly. And this has been done to them by the Jewish communist people, not all the Jews, but by the Jewish race of people, and we feel that those Jews, like Arthur Spingarn of the NAACP, the head of it, and Marvin Rich, the head of CORE, we feel those people have got to be punished, and punished they will be, sir.
That applause, by the way, was made by a Washington, D.C. coffeehouse audience that had started out by booing and hissing. How did Lincoln Rockwell happen to become interested in the Jewish question anyway? Here on a Denver, Colorado radio talk show, he reflects.
What about the Jews that you first knew? Well, what changed your mind?
Well, my father, of course, was in show business, and almost all the people I knew were Jack Benny and Fred Allen. Well, Fred Allen isn't Jewish. But Walter Winchell and all those people that visited my father's home, I got to know pretty well, and I liked them. They were sharp. I think Jewish people, if anything, may be a little more intelligent than the average goy or white person. Not white person, the average Gentile. But I have found, as I have examined factually, not just emotionally, as I've examined the communist movement and the race-mixing movement, I discovered that you find a lot of Jews, not all of them, of course, but a lot of Jews are fanatically engaged in trying to change the great country that welcomed the Jews and that I think is the greatest country that the world has ever seen, the United States of America. They want to turn it into something else, like Israel or Africa.
Why do they want to change it?
You're going to tell me. I don't know. I think certainly we have a country that is the epitome of excellence as far as practicality goes. There's never been a country such as we have. And it was, anyway, around the 1900s, a lot cleaner, a lot straighter, or certainly a lot safer. A woman could walk in any street in America in 1900, for instance, without fear. And no longer can she do that. We didn't have communism here until these Yiddish communists in the Lower East Side of New York began to spread it all over the country. And I think I can't understand why they do it. It seems to me that this country welcomed Jews more than any other country in the world, and they ought to be helping to preserve it, not trying to tear it up.
Chuck Drake on the Lansing, Michigan Party Line show probably didn't know what he was letting himself in for when he asked Commander Rockwell to be his guest. Let's listen to the commander discuss the old story of 6 million Jews.
The Jews, of course, have been persecuted themselves, though.
Well, I don't call it, we didn't persecute the Rosenbergs when we electrocuted them in Sing Sing because they were communist traitors. I think if a person punches me in the nose, I don't think I'm persecuting him to belt him back. And I think too many Jews in this country are punching us in the nose.
Whee!
Well, you're
all smoking, aren't you? Huh?
We'll keep a rack available for you at the headquarters tomorrow in case you need it.
Let's try another call here, Mr. Rockwell.
All right.
Hello, Party Line.
Yes, I have a question for Mr. Rockwell. I've always heard that the Nazis during World War II gassed 6 million Jews. Is this true?
No, sir. I'm glad you asked the question. I would not want any part of having a name of any outfit that did any such thing. I have checked very, very carefully and discovered that the statistics given out by the Jews make these figures utterly impossible. Let me give you one example. I could give you many. The World Jewish Congress every year puts out the figures, the statistics for the number of Jews alive in the world. And these are printed in the World Almanac and also in the New York Times, for instance, and in some other documentary type things. You can find the number of Jews supposed to be alive. If you take the number of Jews, is this the microphone we're using here?
This will pay you.
If you take the number of Jews that they gave that were supposed to be alive in 1939 before the war, and then take the number of Jews given after the war in 1945 and add 6 million Jews to the latter figure who are supposed to be exterminated, you discover there would have had to have been an increase in the Jewish population of more than 50%. In other words, there would have to be one new Jew for every two Jews alive. And even people who are very clever at that sort of thing, even the Negroes can't do that good.
Come on now. You feel these figures have been completely falsified.
Absolutely, sir. For instance, the only gas chamber that's supposed to be available to see is it's supposed to be at Auschwitz. I have never been there, but everybody that has been that I've had check tells me that it's a tiny little room without a scratch or a mar on it that was built after the war. I believe that what happened is that the Jews needed some atrocity propaganda of their own, just like in every war there's atrocity propaganda. They said when we were over in Korea that we were dropping germs, and I know that was a lie, and they put out tremendous documentaries on the germ warfare, and most of the Koreans believed it. And I think the same thing has happened to the American people. They've simply heard this big lie about these 6 million so doggone many times that finally it's become an article of faith. You're supposed to be insane if you question it, and yet if you check the figures, they just simply don't fit.
Mm-hmm. All right, so thanks for your question.
It's almost like a political cartoon from Punch in the 1800s.
Mr. Jackson, I remember when Proposition 14 was before the people of California, and they said it was hate and bigotry, and the people of California overwhelmingly voted for it, which shows that they must either be all bigots or else I'm right.
No, sir, they believe all man's in the Constitution. They thought that was unconstitutional. They thought. I disagree with them. But I'm a minority. I don't get violent about it.
We get called bigots and hate mongers.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Hey, can I just say one more thing?
Of course.
I would like to do this. Now, the people who are listening, I know that they think, well, this is a bunch of hogwash, and they might call us extremists, and this, that, and the other. But why don't they do a little research? Go down and read Karl Marx's history and read the manifesto and see what Karl Marx wanted.
Karl Marx was German.
Karl Marx was a German, but he was a German Jew.
Right.
And not only that, his dad was a rabbi. But then we won't go into that.
Was he a practicing Jew? One second. Was he a practicing Jewish person?
He was an atheist, racial
Jew. Get my point.
He was therefore an atheist German.
Well, let me get my point across, will you? And I won't hold up any longer than I have to here. But there's one thing that's very important. It's when they read Karl Marx, they'll find that he set up 10 rules of which to bring a nation around to accept communism. And since he set those 10 rules up, there's been two countries apply all of those 10 rules. One, unfortunately, was Germany. I don't know how Rockwell take that, but it's true. Germany took it, and the United States is applying it completely. And I'll name the first five real fast so you'll know what we're being taught.
No, sir, there's no point. We're going to give someone else.
All right, Roosevelt didn't invent them.
Sir, I'm going to cut you off, I'm afraid, for only one reason.
Fact number one.
You're off now, and I hate to do that, because I want to give people... Repeat that. One of your men in the background said...
Maybe I should do that. Maybe I'll cut you out now.
Try it.
No, I need to save your job.
I see. No, sir.
I'm thinking of you not trying to be mad at you.
Something great happened to the tomatoes. Forgive me, sir. They've gone red. It's F&P's all-world cuisine, and just wait until you taste them. So here are plump, ripe, red tomatoes and three other personalities you've had to yell. I believe in people like Robert Frost, real Americans, who
said... You've been very gentle and very decent.
Anything that you have to shout isn't worth hearing.
I wouldn't agree with that. I think...
Of course not. You thought of a few...
Place on fire and the people were sleeping, I think you should holler fire.
No, you don't need to. Telephones can do it with a whisper.
Pray perhaps you don't have a telephone.
Right.
If I saw an orphan silent burning, I would holler fire and I'd yell.
All right. Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what's on your mind?
Yes, to start with, I'm a Caucasian, I'm a Baptist Christian, I'm, a peace creep tonight, and a love monger, and I'm also an ex-Navy fighter pilot.
On our side, I hope.
I almost feel compelled to defend several positions tonight, but I won't do any of that. And I'd like to ask Mr. Rockwell one thing. He's alluded to the fact that he might be a white Christian, and maybe I can infer from that he means in the biblical connotation. If that be so, are Jews and Negroes and some of these other races less than descendants from Adam and Eve?
Listen, I haven't tried to denigrate any person who is not against me because of his color or because of anything else. The only thing that I'm against are people who are against this country, who are against our Constitution, who are trying to force us under a communist plan of race mixing to promote a communist revolution. That's all I'm against. And unfortunately, too many Jews are doing this, and too many innocent Negroes are being used in it. This does not mean that I'm saying all Negroes are no good or all Jews are no good. Let's get that clear.
You know, when you think of all the Germans he could follow, not Beethoven, Einstein, Freud, Jung, Goethe, or Handel, Schickelgruber. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I would like to ask George Rockwell if he considers the Birch Society and such ultra-conservative groups the more or less the elite of this type of philosophy, that is, the ones that do all the talking, but they don't do enough of the dirty work like the Nazis do, the picketing, going to jail, marching, all that stuff, because he waves the same flag of Americanism that they do, and I just wondered how he felt about it.
Well, I appreciate this lady's call very much, and I think this is a question that needs to be answered. I think the Birch Society is something that dearly needs to exist in our country. I'm very grateful it exists, except insofar as it claims it's the whole answer and that people like me are bad. Like the lady says, there must be somebody to be the fist of any idea, else it cannot survive. The communists and our enemies use terrorism. They use street terrorism. They're doing it all the time. And my young kids risk their lives. They lose their families and lose their jobs out there to stand up and fight against it. The Birch Society, instead of backing us, like the liberals back the communists, they attack us. This is one of the reasons we are losing is because everybody in the right wing fights each other. I have begged all these right wing groups to stick with us. They are like the fronts and we're like the back. All I ask is the right to be allowed to fight. I'm a soldier of the fight against communism and race mixing. And the Birch Society is more or less the general staff, but they won't do that. Instead, Mr. Welch prints an ad here in Glendale saying that I'm a cannibal.
Oh, bless you, Mr. Welch. Hello.
Hi.
Don't be frightened. What's on your mind? A little louder.
First, maybe I should say that I'm not Negro.
Yes.
Nor am I Jewish.
Must be heck not being either.
I'm a Texan.
Oh, that's all right. That makes up for it.
That makes it better.
Yes.
But I would like to hear your guest's answer. And really, I'm deeply sincere.
Okay.
What exactly does he feel that he, I mean really he, had to do with the fact that he wasn't born Negro? Or Chinese, or Jewish, I don't know if you're born all these things, but I do know that you're born black, or white, or yellow. And I don't mean that his mommy and daddy were white, or his grandparents were white, and that routine. I mean, exactly what does he feel that he has to do with the fact that he was not born with these things? I mean, so he's, what do you do? So what? I mean,
well, the answer to, I think I know what the lady's getting at. She sincerely thinks that the Negroes and the Jews, since they were born this way, that we have to accept anything they do. That's not true. A snake has nothing to do with the fact that he's born a snake. But if I find one in my bed, I'm certainly going to get him out. It's not his fault, but snakes, skunks, and so forth don't belong in our home. Now, I like monkeys. I like to see them in the zoo, though. I don't feel that monkeys have any place sitting around a dinner table at a banquet. Or going out and holding rallies in our streets and wedding all over the street and so forth. I think they should be in a zoo.
I know the answer
to that. The answer to the lady's question is nature is unfair. Nature produces very many unfair things. It produces cripples and so forth, and it has produced an inferior race of people. I know that makes people mad to say it, but they are. The Negroes simply haven't been blessed with the gifts that the white man has. That doesn't mean you've got to persecute them. It means you've got to recognize it and deal with it.
And I would say to you, sir, if you are right, and I have so many reasons for thinking you are not, if you are entirely right, then surely we should work doubly hard to give every single opportunity possible to these people that you claim to be.
Well, then why not the monkeys,
inferior? Because monkeys are not human beings.
Well, where do you draw the line, sir? The Aborigines over in Australia, until the white man showed them, they went down to drink to the lake. They never even made a cup. How low do you have to get before you get out of the pale of human beings? I say there's no sharp line.
Sir, you can teach a monkey tricks.
Yes, to ride a bicycle. In fact, I think you can teach some chimpanzees to do some things that some Negroes couldn't do.
Never seen a fighter pilot? You were a commander, sir, who was Negro.
I had not when I was in, but I have heard of them.
No, not when you were in, sir, but now we have given equal opportunity, almost.
Mr. Jackson, let me say this. First of all, we're not letting people in here, but I will say this. Almost all of the Negroes who achieve highly, if you'll notice, they're very, very light. It may very well be the white blood we're seeing achieving, and in spite of the fact that they have some black blood, I have not seen very many Congo black, gorilla-type Negroes who have achieved anything.
But it's not worthy of honesty. It really isn't. Because I can mention dozens of names sitting here right now, but in answer to your statement, let's give someone else a chance.
Sure.
Captain, down there is a message from the missing expert.
What are you doing? Well, now, one of your men here, I don't know the gentleman's name, one of the gentlemen has said that with enemies like me, who needs friends? Am I that bad? He nodded yes.
We mean that. We mean you're a good man for allowing us to be on here.
No, he's blushing. He meant the opposite, didn't you, sir? Come on, give me a yes or a no out loud. No, you won't answer me. Thank you for the admission. Hello.
Yes, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, ma'am.
I have been listening to your program for an hour or so, and I feel that Mr. Rockwell has made so many misstatements. One, he has stated that the Jews were welcomed in this country, and I have in front of me several reference books. I am a teacher. I'm white, Protestant, Episcopalian, and I feel that something has to be rectified here. One thing, in Charles and Mary Beard, in 1649, there's a Toleration Act. It granted freedom of religious worship only to those who professed faith in Jesus Christ, thereby excluding the Jews. This is the second chapter, if Mr. Rockwell wants to look it up. And you can look in any good history book and see these things. Also, I wonder if Mr. Rockwell, he has mentioned his D.A.R. Ancestors a number of times, and I wonder if he's aware that one of the biggest fanciers of the Revolutionary War was a Jewish man, and there has been a movie made about him.
The fellow who gave his career, Solomon, I think his name was?
Haim Solomon.
Haim Solomon. Now, ma'am, forgive my interjecting. Our time has just gone.
I know, I'm sorry.
We've got no time left at all. My theme's about to play.
All right.
I am sorry. Please call again, teacher.
All right.
Thanks a lot, ma'am. Because at this time of night, we hear something which goes nothing like this. When will you become president?
I believe in 1972, the American people will be so fed up with communism and race fixing that they will elect me president of the United States.
Thank you for being a guest. And I promise you.
I promise you,
it'll be over my dead body and many of my ilk. For all of us here, unter Führer Mike Greywitt, producer, Orbit Lieutenant Bob Kramer, and Fraulein Sandy Pollock, our secretary.
And for me, I'm Michael Jackson. Thanks for company. Till tomorrow night, same time, same place. Bye now. God bless. Reminder, this is KNX, KNX FM, Turn 70 Radio in Los Angeles. Meet us there.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect those of KNX, its management, or its sponsors.
Communism, in essence, is a weapon, a swindle of the international communist and Zionist Jews. It is a weapon being used by the Jews to fulfill their so-called prophecy that they will inherit the wealth of the earth. Many of the Jews actually believe this, but whether they believe it or not is not the point. The fact is they are doing it, and they are using communism in their efforts to take away the wealth and the freedom of all the rest of us. And there is, doesn't make any sense, or it's beside the point to talk about how they are doing it. The main point is that they are doing it, according to the protocols of the learned elders of Zion. And again, it doesn't matter whether these are the actual notes of a Jewish lecture or whether they are a fraud. In any case, they reveal the actual truth of what is going on. And what is going on is not a battle of ideas. It has nothing to do with ideas of communism or economics or sociology or politics. What's going on, in essence, is the same thing that you will see in the street when you see two dogs fighting over a bone. You see these two dogs fighting over a bone, and there is no real honest justice as to whose bone it is or who's going to win. It's a matter of which dog actually can whip the other dog as to who gets the bone. What we see going on in our civilization today is a battle in which one dog is the white Christian dog and the other dog is the Jewish dog, along with his little black mongrel cur dog, the Negro dog. And they are, oh, but these two dogs are trying to get away the bones that the white Christian dog has found. That's basically what's going on in our country and all over the world today. The question is, who is going to enjoy the bone, which is represents the wealth, the wonders, the scientific marvels of white Western Christian civilization? We have produced it, we've dug up the bone, and they want it. In order to get it away from us, they are using the techniques of calling themselves communists and preaching that they want to share the wealth, and to share our wealth. And they're pretending that they want to share it with the masses of the ordinary people of the world. This is a lot of baloney. The communists are not interested in the group or in the minority. They are interested in bringing power for the Jews who operate the conspiracy. The communists know that the most important thing in the gaining of power is the control of the masses. This is what the right wing is almost illiterate upon. This is the one subject that I have found my fellow right wingers absolutely ignorant of, is the fact that power comes from masses. The Jews know this, and they have therefore brilliantly, devilishly, cleverly designed communism to do precisely that. It appeals everywhere on the earth to the so-called downtrodden. And in most cases, the downtrodden are downtrodden because they simply haven't got to get up and go to go and get things for themselves. So that communism is a fraud and a swindle used by the Jews to get these minorities on their side, to launch them like a juggernaut at the throat of the power structure of the people who have actually produced whatever it is that they're trying to get away. The truth doesn't make you free. What makes you free is what our grandpappies had when they got free of the British Empire. They fought. They get out there and they use the force that is given to them by God to fight against tyranny and put it down. Well, I've already told you we can't do it by force and violence here, but there is still a weapon left to us. There is a way that we can win. And I believe that we are on the path of winning right now. I'm running for governor of Virginia, win or lose. I believe that I will do so well, as Governor Wallace did in Wisconsin, that there will be no more denying that the white Christian people have had enough communism and race mixing and pushing around and are going to rebel. When they vote for a man who is known as a Nazi, they're going to have a hard time explaining that all of these thousands of votes just came from nowhere. Well, how is it that I propose we can win? Well, my answer, ladies and gentlemen, is we have one last refuge, one sacred place that has been saved for us by the Founding Fathers, for which I thank God. And that's the secret voting booth. The fact that an American can go into the voting booth and he can vote for whatever he wants still, and nobody knows what he voted for. He can go in there cussing Rockwell and Wallace
and everything on the right wing and vote for us and come back out and cut this again. And nobody will be the wiser that Wallace was able to use one issue on which all of us, every American in the United States, every white Christian, I should say, can unite. We can't unite as Republicans. We can't unite as Democrats. We can't unite as conservatives or liberals or Protestants or Catholics or rich people or Northerners or Southerners. There is only one issue in this country on which all of us, instead of dividing and weakening ourselves, can unite, and that issue is race. Let me point something out. The black people don't vote Republican or Democrat. If Martin Luther King were to run as a conservative, is there anybody that can possibly doubt that the Negroes wouldn't vote for him? They wouldn't care what he called himself. He called himself a Martian. They'd still, the black people would vote for Martin Luther King because black people aren't stupid enough to divide themselves as we do on issues like Republican and Democrat, which mean nothing and cancel each other out. The black people unite by race. Black men vote black. The Jews aren't stupid enough to cancel each other out either. They don't vote half Democrat and half Republican. In the last two elections, they voted 85% the same way for Kennedy and for Johnson. And the Negroes almost 100% for Johnson. Just try to find a Negro group or a Negro, a Goldwater fan amongst the Negroes. Just try to find one. You won't. The white people are divided into Democrats and Republicans, and they completely cancel each other out. They might not as well not even bother to go to the polls. But at the same time, there are some white people preaching, well, we can win as conservatives. Well, we tried it, ladies and gentlemen. Goldwater ran as a conservative, and we got wiped out. I say to you that what we have got to do is quit all the hanky-panky and stop fighting on grounds allowed by the enemy. The enemy allows us to fight as conservatives, and he says that's responsible. He says if you fight as a white man, that's racism and it's evil. At the same time, he tells the black man, you are a black man and fight as a black man, and they do. And vote as a black man, and they do. At the same time, he tells the Jews, stick together as Jews, and they do. But if you do it as white people, as Christians, that's racism and bigotry. And he's got you all scared to death to do it. In other words, the enemy has forbidden you to fight on the only ground on which you can win. Well, I say to you here right now, we must be insane if we continue to do only what the enemy permits us to do. We can do it, ladies and gentlemen, if we stand together as a race. In the United States of America, there is only one group, only one, with the courage and the guts to face up to the fact that this battle is racial. It has nothing to do with politics or economy, free enterprise, taxes. It is a question of, is this country going to be dominated and run by the white Christian people who built it? Or is it going to be run and dominated by a bunch of beatnik scum, Negroes, Jews, communists, aliens, and no good people who are trying to take it away from us and tell us that we mustn't even talk about this because it's hate? Well, I don't see anything hateful about defending your home and country and family from aliens who are invading and taking it away from you. And that's what they're doing. The same problem happened in Germany. And one man was able to rise up and unite his people as white people. He said the white people are a master race. That's what Adolf Hitler preached, and I believe it. And I think most white Christians in America who have any sense realize that's true. The Jews have been telling us that Adolf Hitler was a monster, and he murdered a lot of people and so forth. I learned that that's a lot of garbage. Just like they say the people of Alabama, stormtroopers, and beating Negroes, and villains, and heels, and so forth. That's not true. The same people that lie about Alabama lie about Germany. In short, Germany was the Mississippi and the Alabama of Europe. And they got me and millions of other white Christians like me to go out and try to destroy it. And I think we made a mistake, ladies and gentlemen. I think we should have destroyed atheistic, Soviet, racist, and communism, which is what Hitler was trying to do. We didn't, however, and now we have it all over us, climbing all over us and destroying us and boasting they're going to bury us. Well, I say to you that it's just the other way around. We're going to bury communism. And I believe that only a leader and only a group that's willing to face up to the whole truth, not part of it, but all of it, is going to be able to bury communism. To do it, we need the strength of the enormous masses of the people of America, not right-wingers, such as voting for Goldwater. We need the white Christian masses, the only group in the country, with the courage and the guts to go after these Nazis is the American Nazi Party. No matter what they call us, no matter what they say about us, we believe in the people, in the ordinary taxi drivers, the construction workers, the ordinary little guys that built this country. We believe that if we go to them with a pitch based on the truth, on the facts about race, on the facts about communism, and tell them the truth as we know it, and don't try to hide it or disguise it any, we believe we can win political power, because those little fellows will go into the ballot boxes and the ballot booths where there's nobody can see what they're doing, and no matter how much they may be terrorized outside in that sacred American ballot box, they'll vote for a white man. They did it for Wallace. I believe they'll do it for me in Virginia. I believe they'll do it for me or any other leader with the courage to stand up and fight as a white man in this country. So far, ladies and gentlemen, look at the leaders we've had. We've had some very great ones. I would have gladly given my life following Douglas MacArthur, and I offered to fight and do anything for Joe MacArthur. And yet not one of these men ever once had the nerve to stand up and say, I am a white man, and I'm going to fight as a white man. Even George Wallace today is still saying racism is evil. And I believe that if we keep saying this for the benefit of the Jews so they won't call us hate mongers and racists, we're going to get whipped. I believe the time is too short. Time is desperate. It is time to stand up and tell the whole truth and to fight for it. To organize, not as conservatives, not as Republicans, not as Democrats, not as liberals, not as Northerners, not as Southerners, not as Protestants, or religious or anti-religious or anything else, but as white men. Stand up with all our hearts and souls and unite. The blacks vote black. The Jews vote Jewish. Ladies and gentlemen, let's let the white man vote white. Let's let the white man support the white cause. If you believe in and understand what I've been preaching, please, won't you support us? Won't you enable these young men who go out and risk their lives in the streets fighting communists? Won't you support them? Keep them alive. Help them pay the bail the way the communists and the Jews support their communist Jew scum to get them out of jail. I've got a lot of men in jail right now. Won't you please support them? Listen to the group leader who has presented this film and give them all the help you can. It will be deeply appreciated by me and every other white American, every white Christian in this country. I thank you very much, and I hope to see you all personally sometime.